Agape love is never an emotion. I mean, I may not like you, but I gotta love you. Because love in the Bible is unconditional service. It means even if you're Judas, I'll wash your feet if I think it can change you. And the church needs to pick up a towel and put down the rocks if we're ever gonna win our community to Jesus Christ.
Hey guys, Adam here. I'm the kids pastor at Abba's House, and I want to invite you to this year's Trunk or Treat on October 27th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. We're going to have pony rides. We're going to have a petting zoo. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have awesome food trucks. We are going to have candy, candy, candy. And then we're going to end the night with a fireworks show. Fuse Fireworks from Clarksville, Tennessee will be here again this year to amaze us with their incredible fireworks. So join us on October 27th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. where we are going to turn this normal looking parking lot into something epic. We'll see you then.
Greetings, partners and friends. It's Pastor Ronnie here, lead pastor at Abba's House. So excited about all that God is doing in the house. Today we're bringing you a special word titled, We Are Better Than This. My father preached this word, Dr. Ron Phillips. You know, he is being used around the world, and he still preaches here at Abba's House about 10 weeks a year. In fact, he'll be preaching on Thanksgiving weekend, so if you have family coming into town, we encourage you to come to Abba's House and hear a great word from Dr. Ron Phillips. This message is different from anything you've ever heard from my father before. I hope you'll watch it. I know it'll change your heart and be a great blessing to you. Enjoy.
Back in the fall, this message came to me. I was watching Fox News early one morning. And they had the Broadway Joe Namath, who played in Alabama and then later for the New York Jets, winning the Super Bowl. Many of you don't know that in his career at Alabama, Joe Namath made some mistakes and was suspended by Coach Bryant during a championship drive. But the first thing they asked Joe about was Colin Kaepernick. He said, first of all, I would always stand for the National Anthem. I believe everybody ought to stand for the National Anthem. Then he said something that hit me in the face like a fist. He said, but you know, I've never been African American. I've never stood in that boy's shoes. His parents gave him up. He was adopted. He was African American. He was reared in a white home. I don't know who's been around him. I don't know who's talked to him. And he said, I just wonder if anybody as a father ever sat down and talked to him. He said, I know he's dating a woman who is Islamic. And he's been influenced, but I don't know who's influenced him. And then they said, we've got to go. But they had after the show. Did anybody know they do that? So I went online. I wanted to hear what Joe Namath had to say. And here's what he said. He said, if Colin Kaepernick had had Bear Bryant in his life, his life might have been different. And then he told about what he did wrong, and I'm not going to rehash that. Some of it was criminal, and he was suspended for a season from the team. And said Coach Bryant said nothing to him for really over a week. But then when he was called into Bear Bryant's office, fully expecting a ticket home to Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, he said, Coach Bryant turned and with compassion in his voice, said, Joe, I know you've had a rough upbringing. And Joe, I know you've done some things wrong. But Joe, I believe you're better than this. And he said, I continue to do some things that I shouldn't have across the years. I've returned to my faith in Christ, my Catholic faith. And said, I've lived my life, and when I've done something wrong, it's been that voice of a father that said, you're better than this, that has pulled me out of the wrong choices in my life that I've so often made. Here in America, we've seen the failure of national unity. No matter what it seems our president does to try to afford compromise, there's a group that's always going to be against him and hate him. And no matter what the other side said, there's always going to be a group that hates them. But God has convicted me personally about not setting a hostile atmosphere that hinders the mission of our witness. Because the person that we seem to be most against and despise the most, Jesus Christ died for. And our witness has got to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I want to bring a brief message today from my heart on you're better than this. And what does it mean to be better than this? Well, being better moves me into a community of all kinds of people. In our text in Hebrews, he says, beloved, and it's plural. Who was he talking to? That church, the church represented by the book of Hebrews. Well, it was Jewish people that had come out of traditional legalism to embrace Christ. But now they were about, some of them were thinking about pulling back. He was coming to a people who felt their government had failed them. Because if you read in Hebrews, he has a verse that says, you took the spoiling of your goods with joy. They'd been through some persecution, been through some difficult times. But Paul wrote to them and challenged them, and his word was, and you go all the way through the book of Hebrews, it's better, 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 no matter how bad. Demons may be bad, but we've got better angels. What we got's better. But I like what he says to them personally. You're better than this. And when I journey around the city of Chattanooga in Hamilton County, I don't see racial hatred and unrest. I know we need to go farther. I believe that we are integrated. I believe that. I see it on the ball fields. I see it in the schools. But beloved, we ain't socially integrated yet. I mean, we're not taking folks that are not like us to dinner much, are we? Oh, get quiet if you want to. What I believe has happened on the ball fields and everywhere else around here has got to happen in our homes. I mean, when you say beloved, you're talking about all kinds of people. Jesus said a new commandment, John 13:34, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? When we were wrong, did he love us? When we were hateful, did he love us? Somebody answer me. We need some more African-American folks in the church that'll just answer, I'm telling you. Glory to God. See, I've been preaching out. I'm going to California to a big conference that I'm going to get talked back to, and I want to hear that. Hey, when you failed, did he love you? When you hurt somebody else, did he still love you? When you were at your worst, he was at his best. He still loves you. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you, John 15:12. Second time. In John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. We can remember every commandment but that one. We were warned as well by St. Paul not to attack one another. In Galatians 5:15, he said, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed of one another, lest you destroy everything you're doing. Rather, we are to assist one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another. Everybody say one another. Amen. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul instructs us in Ephesians 4:2 that we are to serve one another with lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We can't bear one another for 1 minute. Oh, how we need this help. What about Ephesians 4:32? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You said, boy, I wish them Democrats and Republicans did that. What about Christians? I mean, folk can't even stay in a church. They can't forgive long enough to stay in a church. You talking about a yo-yo county, 1,100 churches in this county, many of them birthed in the flesh, based on roots of bitterness? And some are going to run off because they'll get offended. And what do? You carry that offense to the next church, and when the same pattern repeated, you go again. Romans 12:5, we being many are one body and members of one another. We're members of one another. I'm a member of the church. That don't mean you in an institution. That means you're a member of me. Amen. And I'm a member of you, just like your hand is part of your body. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love them. Romans 14:13, don't judge one another. Romans 14:19, pursue the things which make for peace and edify one another. Romans 15, listen to this. I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to admonish one another. He's writing to the church at Rome. I mean, Nero's about to be Caesar. I mean, the whole place is corrupt. The government's collapsed. They're persecuting his Christians. And he writes to these people who are living in the middle of all that, and many of who are in conflict, and he says, you know, I believe something better about y'all. That you're going to rise above this for the sake of one another. So listen, my friend. When you say you're a Christian, all of a sudden you're brothers with everybody around the world. This morning on Sid Roth, this Paulette was telling me about this Islamic girl who was persecuted, abused in every possible way, finally escaped from that. Came here and got a job, and her boss led her to Christ, and later this church felt led to help her, and they said, you need to drive down here. We're going to pray for you. She said, I don't have any gas in my car. Preacher said, well, you start driving. When you run out, call me. She drove 5 hours on an empty tank. Amen. And this pastor got down on his knees in front of that girl and never met her and prayed through every problem she'd ever have. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was changed and transformed because somebody believed that she could be better than what she had been. See, I've always known Abba's House people were better. That ain't bragging, that's fact. Because if you're not there yet, you can get there. I've always believed that. Secondly, being better moves me from conflict to conversation. In Hebrews 6:9, he says, I'm persuaded of better things than you. Listen, it's things that accompany salvation. I believe you're better because you're saved and you're going to learn to act like you're saved. Sometimes Ron Phillips would be a lot further down the road if he kept his hand off Facebook and his mouth shut. Because sometimes I think I'm here to defend the government, but I'm really here to win people to Jesus. That's why we're here. That doesn't mean we compromise on abortion and the things that are biblical stands, but it does mean if Republicans and Democrats were ever going to fix the abortion issue, it ought to have been fixed by now. All the politicians are going to do is talk. You want to stop abortion, you get young people saved and give them a father figure in their life and teach them the value of life. That's our job. What does it mean to journey from conflict to conversation? Am I willing to risk crossing the wilderness between one side and the other to bring a message? Do I really embrace the command of the Master, go into all the world? Well, Jesus touched lepers, the equivalent of those that have AIDS today. He saved an adulterous woman about to be stoned to death by exposing the fact that the man had something to do with it too when he wrote on the ground. He met a 5-time divorcee who nobody would go to the well with and turned her into a missionary in an hour. Because Jesus believed every encounter, whether he was healing somebody or saving somebody or taking a tax collector who'd lied to the government and changed him, he believed that when he touched them, they were better than they could ever be. Think of Matthew, he was with the IRS. But Jesus saved him. St. Paul penetrated the gay community and reached them for Christ. If you don't believe it, read 1 Corinthians 6:11. He speaks of the gay people and he says, such were some of you. But God But God believes you can be better and have an identity restored. Oh, Jesus also penetrated that community. He warned us, it was the days of Lot, so shall it be. In the days of Son of Man, we got a word for the failing and difficulties in our world today. Love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:6. But hate always fails. Always. By the way, love, let me clarify love, okay? Agape love is never an emotion. I may not like you, but I gotta love you. Because love in the Bible is unconditional service. It means even if you're Judas, I'll wash your feet if I think it can change you. And the church needs to pick up a towel and put down the rocks if we're ever going to win our community to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, as the years roll on, Jesus becomes more important than your issues. Hate always fails. Let me go on. Being better means we give ourselves to God's service and for His favor. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. Forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. We are willing to move from audience to community, to embrace and serve all who come into our community. And I want to tell you this, folks. If you're visiting here today, there's not a more generous church that pours more money. They could have focused just on their debt. This church has continued to pour thousands and tens of thousands of dollars into the rest of the world, and we're making our payments and doing what we can. But I've never seen a more generous congregation that gets more done, that feeds needy people here every Sunday, not just once a year. A church that is on mission all the time, everywhere, that's scraping money together to make sure our orphans in the Dominican eat and the appeals that come. And we've got churches like Randy's and others that have supported what we're doing and that are part of are going to be part of 1,000 points of light across this nation, we believe, in the future, to see more done for Jesus. I praise you, Abba's House. You are a blessing. You are a blessing bigger than you can imagine. You can't imagine the influence and what you've done. And I want to tell you today, you are better than you think you are, and we can be better than this. I believe in you because I believe in the God in you. I've seen God make us better than we can be. God will not forget your labor of love. Those of you who showed up early to keep the nursery, to work on the parking lot, to greet and welcome people, and to feed the hungry after the service today, and He's not going to forget it.
That's right. Amen.
He told me He's not going to forget a single sermon, a single visit. He's not going to forget it.
Amen.
He's not unjust like human. You may never get a certificate, a trophy, but God will not forget. Because nobody may know it, but I know you are better than people think you are. Finally, being better means we'll never give up. You know how people get elected to office in this country? They make you believe you can be better. President Obama, the audacity of hope. Bill Clinton, a man from Hope, Hope, Arkansas. Hope. President Clinton, President Trump, America can be great again. The idea that somehow you can be better, be transformed, that things can get better, people want to hear that. It doesn't matter what party you're in. We're tired of hearing how bad we are. Every time there's an unfortunate shooting, we hear all these rallies and stuff. Nobody talks about the tens of thousands of schools where teachers have taught safely. Our educational system is better than this. We're not what happens, as sad as it is, in this incident. And I'm tired of being called to account for things I didn't do. Because I really don't believe it's society's fault. The Bible says all have sinned. It's somebody made a wrong choice. And today, if George Washington would have come back, we found out he chopped down the cherry tree, we wouldn't say, George, you're wrong, you chopped down a cherry tree. We'd want to know, I bet your mother slapped you on the hand when you reached for that cherry jam one time. Now you've got a complex. It's society's fault. You know, a .22 rifle got up and walked down the street. No! Somebody broke, a man without a father, a young man with no father, a young man whose life was interrupted. Nobody told him about Jesus. And when I came here, we integrated this church. It wasn't integrated. We did it. God did it. We had people leave. We broke down that racial wall. We did it. And then we broke down the denominational wall by embracing the gifts of the Spirit and the King, and finding out the kingdom was bigger than just our Southern Baptist Zion. And then we broke down the gender wall, which is fully accepted now. But the only thing some of the old Baptists hated worse than tongues was women preachers. And because he has a sense of humor, God raised up Beth Moore to be Baptist's most famous preacher next to Billy Graham. Beth Moore's outstanding. Ruth Graham, not the wife but the daughter, shared at the funeral about her wayward life, her terrible, horrible existence that she went through. How her daddy begged her not to remarry after a terrible divorce, and on New Year's Eve she remarried anyway and knew within 24 hours she had failed. 5 weeks later she left that man and asked permission if she could come home. And she said, oh, how embarrassed I was. I embarrassed my parents. But she said, think about not only embarrassing your parents, but embarrassing Billy Graham. But she said, when I came up the hillside to that cabin where Daddy lived, she said, Daddy was standing on the porch and said, all he said to me when he put his arms around me was, welcome home. Folks, that's why we built this house and put a statue of the prodigal in the front. So did anybody, whatever color, whatever background, that has a broken life knows if they come here, there's a porch, as Ronnie declared years ago. And you can come on that porch, and before you get inside, there's a father who will run towards you. Amen. There's a church that will represent him and throw their arms around you and say, welcome home. You can be better than this. You can be better than this. Romans 12, 17, recompense no man evil for evil. And I've asked God to forgive me. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We just hadn't been doing that. And I'm talking to myself. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't get even. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. How do you feel about taking the guy you don't like or the girl you don't like to lunch? Is that what this says? Maybe it is. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And listen to this word. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All the rhetoric, all the political talk, all the jawboning will not take a gun out of a broken kid's hands. But I'll tell you, if you'll get him to Jesus, He'll take that gun out of his hand, put a song in his heart, deliver him from drugs and his brokenness, and put him on the front row of the church, and he'll learn how to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch. Like, that's the only weapon we have. Believe me, I have fought mess all my life. And all I've got, stinky hands. But the blood of Jesus, because I want to tell you something. The bottom line is this. The bottom line is this. The best is yet to be. And when Jesus went up to that cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He knew when he breathed out his last breath that by that death, and 3 days later, his resurrection, that the best was yet to be. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That we wouldn't have to live a life that perishes, a life that's destructive, a life that's broken. That we can be healed. Everything in God, the best is always last. David wrote, weeping may endure for the night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. It's going to be all right. The best is yet to be. And even if the rapture doesn't come right away, and some of us go down to dusty death, we breathe our last on this earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the best is yet to be.
What a powerful message we heard from our pastor emeritus. We are better than this, and we as a nation and as a world need to come together under the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in unity. We need to move from conflict to conversation. We need to walk in unity, and I pray that we will all do this, get to know one another, have those tough conversations, and at the end of the day, we persevere until the end, because that's what Jesus Christ has called us to do. I hope you'll partner with our ministry. I hope you'll come visit us here at Ibis House. God is moving here. We need to see you here one Sunday. God bless.
Hey guys, Adam here. I'm the kids pastor at Abbas House, and I want to invite you to this year's Trunk or Treat on October 27th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. We're going to have pony rides. We're going to have a petting zoo. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have awesome food trucks. We are going to have candy, 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 and then we're going to end the night with a fireworks show. Fuse Fireworks from Clarksville, Tennessee will be here again this year to amaze us with their incredible fireworks. So join us on October 27th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. where we are going to turn this normal looking parking lot into something epic. We'll see you then.
This program was made possible by the generous donations from friends and partners of Abbas House Media. Connect with us today on our website, through the Abbas House app, and through social media. Thanks for watching.